I heard the sermon and it actually really touched me and somewhat convicted me. What are the two great commandments? Love God and love others, right? Guess what? Those are two separate things. Because oftentimes we associate loving others, that's like loving God. But there's two commandments are two different things. Like loving God is not... See, loving people is pretty measurable. Wouldn't you say? Like I give you a gift or I do something. That's measurable, right? Loving people is measurable. But loving God is a little harder to measure. Loving God is a little harder to measure. And what is the love we can give to Him? Time. Our time. Worship is loving Jesus. That is loving Jesus. Is worship. Fulfilling a command, it's to protect your love with Jesus. It says, if you love me, you will do my commandments. Right? That is a thing you do because you love him. But loving him looks like something. Like it's separate from loving people. Like it says, first love God and then love people. Out of our love for God should flow the second commandment, loving people. Because you can't love people without loving God. But loving God looks like something. It's not just, yes, it is serving others, but it's more than that. The Levites, when the Levites went and burned incense and all that, and when David set up his tent, do you guys know David's tabernacle? So what this is, you know what he did? He grabbed, the tabernacle was this, a tent in the middle, the Ark of the Covenant, and musicians around. And all they did was thank the Lord and praise him. That's ministry unto the Lord. That's like loving God. So there's just, when we worship, this is something significant. This is not just to prepare our hearts. This is not just so we be transformed, but we're loving Jesus. It looks like something. It's as that woman who's breaking that perfume over Jesus' feet, over his head. So I just want to encourage you, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. That means you think about him. That means you talk to him. You worship him with all your soul. Amen? Your will and your emotions are in your soul. With all of that. Not the other way around, you know? God, I love you because you make me feel this way. No, no, no. I love you because you are this. You are my Savior. Amen? And yeah, this next year I really feel like we're going to get, for this youth personally, we're going to get equipped, and we're going to see his glory. Because it says in Psalms 24, or 124, I believe, it says, who will ascend the mountain of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And the mountain of the Lord represents being in his glory, in his presence. Because that's all you need in life. Is to be in his presence and like you'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied. His presence is enough because it's him. Amen? So, we're going to get practical. So my question is, if someone were to ask you, what is the gospel and what do I have to do to be saved, what would you say?
The gospel is a story of...
Okay. What if someone came up to you, hey, explain what Jesus did for me. Would you know? From beginning to end. Yeah? Because it's important. Because I've asked some people, and they're like, would you be able, if someone asks you to say, like, what is the gospel? What do you believe in? And people are like, I mean, the gospel is so much, I don't even... But it's so important for us to know the gospel and what it is. Because it says, we are called to what? Go and what? Make disciples of all nations. And you can't do that without the gospel. What does gospel mean?
Good news.
Good news. Not like good news, like your package came. Like good news, like you're not dead anymore. You're saved from your sin. Amen? Okay, so better yet, if God puts it on your heart to share about the gospel with someone, how would you do it? Like there's a stranger and God's like, you need to go preach the gospel to him. Or there's a friend in school. Hey, you need to tell them what the gospel is, what Jesus is about. How would you do that? You don't have to answer me, but think to yourself, because we'll answer it, right? We are called to preach the good news to people. Amen? Is everybody supposed to preach the gospel? Does it mean on stage necessarily? No. Does it mean on like to a mass? No. Oftentimes it's to individuals. Oftentimes it's to coworkers. Oftentimes it's with people we go to school with, right? So we are called to preach the good news. If you're not called to preach the good news, raise your hand. Amen. So you are without excuse to preach the gospel. Christ has given us so much, and yet sometimes we're timid to preach the gospel. We're shy. We need to go preach the gospel over there. Okay. Wouldn't you want to give the answers to the questions people have about their life? Or no? Do you know what's funny? People are walking with questions, and you're walking with the answer. People are walking with questions, and you're walking with the answer, and like, I got the answer, but I'm not going to give it to you. Like, that's jacked up, right? But I think that's not because we don't want to give it to them. It's just we're not aware that they have the question. Sometimes we forget. We're like, oh, I know everything. But we don't realize the next person to us doesn't know anything. Or they're looking for something. Or they're asking something, right? But the answer lives inside of you. And it doesn't cost anything to them. You know why? Because you got it for free. So they should get it for free. Freely you have received, freely you shall give. Amen? We do it out of love for God and people. We don't do it just because, oh, I'm called to preach the gospel. No, like if your best friend saved you and he can save someone else, you would do it because you love your best friend. You're like, yo, let me tell you about my best friend. He saved me from a cliff. Whatever. He saved me from death. Like, it's not going to be out of place. Wow, he saved me. I guess I got to go tell other people. That's silly. No, we should be so, like, on fire. We should be so infatuated. We should be so, like, passionate that it just seeps through us. It seeps through us. And this is the thing. Like, I'm not saying this because, like, I don't do it. Like, I try to practice it. I've tried to do it with strangers, and guess what? Sometimes you get rejected, sometimes you don't. Sometimes people get saved. But it's not your responsibility to save people. It's Jesus's. Your responsibility is to show them Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come on. There's so many people. Look at this. Imagine if you would look through God's eyes. There's so, and he loves everybody, but there's so many people going to hell. Like, think about it. If that person got in a car accident tomorrow, where would they go? And that's for eternity. Like, that gets me. I'm like, oh man, like I should try to share the gospel with them. Because they're going to go to hell and they're going to burn forever. If they don't accept Jesus, that is the truth. The Bible talks about it. He who doesn't confess the Son is already condemned. Who doesn't believe is already condemned. They get to go to hell. Is that bad of God? Is that unjust of God? No. Because God is holy. God is just. Amen? So sin cannot be in his presence, but he allowed us, if we accept the sacrifice of Jesus, we are washed of that sin. Jesus took the payment. Jesus took the judgment that we were supposed to have. These are just important things to understand, because people are going to ask you, like, okay, why am I going to hell? Why can't God, you know, just let me in? He's loving, right? But you have to explain that he's loving, but he's just. He's loving, but he's righteous. Amen? So look at this. Our responsibility to share the gospel is important, and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us. Right? It's not for us. It's not on us for a person to accept it, although it is what we want, right? If we preach the gospel to someone, we want them to accept it. But it is Jesus who saves when the Father draws them. So like, Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. When you preach the gospel, there is power when you say the gospel. It's not your story, it's God's story. That became our story because he saved us, amen? So look at this, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of age. To make a disciple, they first need to come to know the Christ. Right? If you want to be a disciple, you need to know what the gospel is. You need to accept Jesus. Amen? And if we want to make other people disciples, they must accept Jesus. You can't be a disciple and not accept Jesus. I know that sounds like, oh, obviously, Johnny, like. But for real, if we want to disciple people, yeah, I disciple a person, but they haven't, like, they're like a disciple, but they haven't accepted Jesus yet. Like, yes, you build a relationship, and when the opportunity comes up, you give them the gospel, amen? Some people you straight do it. Some people you're like, okay, I need to kind of build a relationship with, right? And the Holy Spirit will lead you in that. We'll get to that later. I'm getting ahead of myself. And we want to present it well, right? We don't want to just say, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, Jesus resurrected. If you accept him, amen. Like, we want to do it well, right? If someone actually saved you, if someone saved you, and he did actually save you, like, you're going to tell the story in detail. You're not going to be like, yeah, like, I was dying, and then he saved me, and he can save you. Like, you're going to say, no, I was broken, I was lost, but now I'm found because he found me when I was still doing sin, and it wasn't of me, but he came and grabbed me. Like, you are going to do it in detail and out of love and sincerity for him. Amen? Does that make sense, though? We have to understand what God did for us so we can help other people understand what he did for them. So I want to give a basic layout of how do you preach the gospel to someone, okay? A basic layout. That doesn't mean it will be like this exactly every single time. It doesn't mean there's different situations, but I want to give some foundational things. Does that make sense? So you have a reference to. However God leads you to preach it, as long as it has some key points, you'll be fine. Amen? So first, we have to start with creation. Creation. What was creation? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and he created man in the garden, right? He created man. He gave life to man. He created Adam and Eve. People need to believe that God created the earth. Not some big bang and like, oh, it was an accident. No, God created the earth. And Adam and Eve walked with God and had fellowship with him. Like, they were connected. They have a relationship with God in the garden, right? That was creation. Second thing. So first is creation. Second thing is the fall. Not like the autumn, not like the season, the fall. But fall, like you fell, right? The fall. What happened in the fall? God put a tree in the Garden of Eden, and he's like, Adam, don't eat of this tree. Or surely you will die the day you eat of it. Okay, Adam? He's like, okay, God. Like, he gave a choice. God didn't program you to be some robot. Free will is one of the gifts of God. I believe in free will. Amen. I believe God gives you a choice. Right? He didn't program you to be like, hey, I know, like, he knows every answer you're going to give, But he didn't. He allowed you to have free will to choose. Why did Adam choose the tree? Because he got deceived, but he had free will, right? Adam got deceived. Eve got deceived by the devil, that serpent man, right? But we have free will. And Adam, when God put it, he's like, Adam, you can choose to obey me or you can choose to disobey me. He gave us free will. If you don't agree, I'm sorry. Not really, though. So God put a tree in the garden and told man not to eat from it. The serpent deceived Eve. And Adam watched Eve, probably. So guys, don't be like, wow, you sinned, Eve. Like, girls were the first ones to sin. You probably could have stopped her. Okay. They disobeyed and sin entered the world, and the world was cursed. So when people ask, why is the world so bad if God is so good? Because there's evil in the world because of the choice of man to disobey God. God cursed not because like, wow, I just feel like cursing the world now. No, God cursed because disobedience came. And that was the result of disobedience. When we sin, sin only leads to curse and death. Does that make sense? So they disobeyed and sin entered the world and the world was cursed. And God, being righteous and holy, had to punish the sin as a righteous judgment. And guess what? He sent them out of the garden. Get out of the garden. Go. Why? Because sin separated us from God. God is holy and there's no sin in God. And sin put like a wall between God and man. It put a big chasm. One of the illustrations you can share with someone is, see God, and you can draw this up. I don't have a pad right now. But you can draw a cliff on one end, right, God, and another cliff, and there's an endless abyss. And it says God and man. Because sin, that abyss is sin. It separated us from fellowship with God. In the garden, we were naked and unashamed before God. And sin made that wall. And now, like, sin separated us from relationship with God, right? So it says, and people will, you know, some people might say, well, I'll go to heaven. And you'll ask, why? Because I'm a good person. Like, I only messed up a couple times. Have you heard that before? I've heard that before. But you have to explain to them that one sin is enough to separate you from God. One sin. It took one sin to separate Adam and Eve from God. One sin. And you can show them Romans 3:23. Who knows this by memory? Спасибо, Саша. It's on the screen. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So nobody in the world has no sin. You're a baby, you sinned already. Why? Because Adam sinned, and that's already in you. Romans 6:23, what does it say? The wages of sin is not life, but death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So you actually work, when you're doing sin, you're working for death. But when you accept the gift of God, you have eternal life. So you have to explain that sin leads to death, and sin, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God gave His gift, which is eternal life. This is just so important to understand, so we're able. And then you can explain, this is on you or however you feel the Lord leading you. People would sacrifice animals in the New Testament so they could be forgiven of sin. Why? Because sin, the wages of sin is death, right? So they would kill an animal because that was the wages of sin. And bloodshed had to happen for the payment of sin. So first we have creation, Then we have the fall or the separation. Third, what do we have? Redemption. Redemption. And that includes the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And you can, and then you explain, Jesus entered into the world through a Virgin Mary, right? He came as God's Son. He was both man and he was both God at the same time, 100%. He was God and man. And it says, what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Perish. Have eternal life. What does it say? God loved, so God gave his Son. So they have to realize that God sent his Son. Why? Because he loved. Because he loved the world. He loved us. Right? So God made a way for the forgiveness of sins. And you explained that Jesus lived a perfect life. He went through all the things that we went through, but he lived a perfect life because he was God. Because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? He lived a perfect life that none of us could live. And that was the perfect sacrifice. Because an animal is not enough. You have to keep re-sacrificing animals. But Jesus was the perfect lamb. He was the lamb without blemish. He was the lamb without sin. He was the perfect sacrifice that didn't just pay for one person's sin, but paid for everybody's sin. So God sent his Son. Jesus lived a perfect life. And he went on the cross. And all the sin that we did was what? Put on the cross with Jesus. All the curse, all the disease, everything was put. The wrath of God, the judgment of sin was put on Jesus. And he died. And then guess what? On the third day, he resurrected. Amen? Because he was God. Death was defeated. And he resurrected. So he's like, now I can give you this. You can live in my death and in my resurrection. One man died, everybody made righteous. It says through one man, sin entered the world, right? But through one man, righteous, we are made righteous. Now we are able to be made righteous. Amen? Close? God made a way for forgiveness of sins. He loved us so much, right? Jesus died in place of us, and God restored his relationship with us through that. Why? Because when Jesus died, the curtain was torn. Do you guys remember that? The curtain was torn. What did that signify? That signified that God restored his relationship with man. He restored. What was lost in the garden was restored, and that was fellowship with God. Now we're able to walk with him and be in his presence. Amen? The Bible says Jesus is the only way, truth, and life in John 14:6. He's the only way. There's not many ways to God. Oh man, you know, I do my own thing. I combine all the religions. Find what I like, sprinkle a bit, and then we do what we do. Like, no, that's not it. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father. People, you know, I have my truth, you have your truth. No, Jesus is the truth, and any truth outside of him is not truth. It's a lie from the devil. Amen? Amen. You better believe it. Better believe it. Okay. Romans 10:9-11. This is the most basic way to explain how to be saved. Remember when Paul got escaped from prison, but like the doors open, but they didn't leave because the jailer? And the jailer's like, how can I be saved? And what did he say? Sorry, Sasha, I probably didn't give that. When he asked, what must I do to be saved? Was it Paul or Peter? It was Paul. Because it's in Romans. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What does mean Lord if you confess to him? If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, that means you give your life to him. Now he lords over you. Now he rules over your life. And that's like so much better than us ruling over our own lives, because we'll wreck it or lose it or whatever else. To be born again is to start a new life with him, right? Nicodemus goes to Jesus and Nicodemus, how can we have eternal life? You must be born again. Nicodemus is like, how can I do that? Like physically. And no, Jesus was talking about the new birth, a new spiritual birth. Amen? And when we accept Jesus, we get a new birth. The second we are born again. Amen? I know this is like really basic, but we need to understand these principles. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that it is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So you cannot earn anything from God. You can't earn your way to heaven. People say, well, I'm a good person. I do good things. That's not how you go to heaven. You go to heaven by accepting Jesus and believing by faith through grace that he is alive and that I'm able to take his sacrifice. Amen. He took my place. I'm able to be forgiven and restored with God. Restored to relationship with God. Like religion will say, you need to do this. You need to do this to be saved. But relationship says, you just need to believe in me and be with me and accept me. That's what it is. So if people say, I'm doing good things, we do a lot of bad things and good things. We can only gain salvation by accepting Jesus. We can't earn it from God. If we earned it, then Jesus wouldn't have to die. Amen? So it's a free gift. So if you're writing notes, first creation, second the fall, third redemption, and in parentheses you can put birth, death, and resurrection of Christ. So God gave, Jesus died, Jesus resurrected. Point four. Return. Jesus is coming back and we will be with him forever. Amen? Amen. Wow. Guys, Jesus is going to come back and be with us forever. Do you live in light of him coming back? Or do you live like, my grandparents say, oh, skoro, like, soon, he will come soon. And they're like, yeah, maybe another 1,000 years or something. But that's, you don't know when he's going to come. But he's coming back. Amen? Like, we should live in light of that. We should live with that hope. So, just explaining that Jesus is going to come back for us. Amen? Amen. So, what is the first one? Second one.
The fall.
Third one.
Redemption, which is birth.
Ooh, come on. Four.
Return.
Amen. That's all you need. That's the basic, guys. That's the layout to preach the gospel. I mean, if you don't know what you believe in, like, you should probably find that out, you know? If we claim to follow Christ, we need to know why we follow Christ and how it is possible to follow Christ. Amen? Okay. And then you lead them in a prayer of repentance. Does someone know how to do that? Do you know how to lead a prayer of repentance? It's really basic, right? So what did we read? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the simplest repentance. prayer of repentance, right? So I'll give you guys an example. First, they must acknowledge that they need a savior, right? If they're like, I don't need no help, then then you don't need no help, right? They do need help. So they have to acknowledge that they're a sinner. They have to acknowledge, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. I repent of my sins. And I ask that you would forgive me. And I believe that you, Jesus, died for me and rose again from the dead. And I give you my life and make you Lord and Savior of my life and start a relationship with you. Simple as that, right? Who wants to lead me in a prayer of repentance right now? I'm for real. So, for instance, we would say, like, repeat after me and mean it from your heart, and then you just lead me, okay?
All right. Do you admit that you need Christ in your life? Do you need a Savior in my life?
Yes.
Okay. Repeat after me.
Yeah.
God.
God.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
And I lived. And I lived a life without you.
And I lived a life without you.
I ask for your forgiveness.
I ask for your forgiveness.
I know I'm a sinner, and I want. And I want to accept you into my life.
And I want to accept you into my life.
I want to start a relationship with you. And be faithful to you.
Be faithful to you.
In all my days.
In all my days.
Until you're coming.
Until you're coming.
Amen.
There you go, right? Good job, Dan. Give it another hand for him. Amen. So, obviously, guys, it's not like something that's going to flow right away. Like preaching the gospel, like, takes practice. For you, you're like, oh man, I kind of, guess what? I preached the gospel and I stuttered to people and maybe I wasn't like super clear, but guess what? God will make up for your weakness. Amen? It's not all on us. God will help us preach the gospel. So when we lead people, know that it's not you just trying to convince them. It's the Holy Spirit working in you, and the Holy Spirit starts touching their heart. Because it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for man, right? So it's the power of God. So when we preach the gospel, it's not just, oh, I have to try to convince them. No, Holy Spirit is going to work through you. Amen? We got to acknowledge that. So then what I like to usually do is when they pray that prayer and they repeat it. Basically, now you have a person that got saved. Amen? Amen? So what I usually do is pray over them. Pray just a prayer of blessing over them. Pray if they need healing. Pray if they need deliverance from something. Pray for restoration. And pray that they would encounter God's love even more. Does that make sense? Because the gospel has power and the kingdom of heaven looks like something. And Jesus says it's within you. He said the kingdom is within you. So look at this. Every time Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he usually like healed someone or someone got delivered from demons or something happened. They encountered. When people repented, they encountered God. So it's not just some words, but it's an encounter. When people accept Christ, they should encounter Jesus, amen? They should encounter the one that saved them, amen? Amen? Or no? Amen, come on. Amen. I don't have to convince you guys. Holy Spirit will work on you. But you're convinced, I know. Okay. Okay, the gospel has power. Amen?
Amen?
Also, I believe that once a person's saved, we should try our best to give them the resources we have. So we don't just, okay, now you're a sheep of the Lord. Find your flock. No, we should, you know, connect them, try to connect them with the church, grab their number. And now you have a baby Christian that you need to nurture. It's like a baby. It's like a baby. You have to take care of it, right? You can't just say, okay, I'll see you. Hope you're doing well. Hope Jesus is like, If you're able to offer some resources, like connect them to a good church, give them a Bible, point them how to get to know God more, that is one of our responsibilities. It's not just go save people. It's disciple people. And discipling looks like something. It looks like raising people. Right? Jesus didn't just call his disciples, cool, you're with me. But he raised his disciples. Amen? So, give them resources like a church and a Bible, and maybe even keep up with them if that's possible. Give them their number. Hey, like, let's keep talking. I want to, let's continue to talk about this. And start to disciple them. And we should not be ashamed. Amen? People will reject it, and that's okay. People will reject it. They rejected Christ himself. So if you give someone the gospel and they don't accept it, like, guess what? Like, you tried your best, but it's not on you. Amen? Amen. So it's okay if people reject you. That'll happen. Not everybody you preach to is necessarily going to get saved. I mean, I wish and I hope that happens, but sometimes people don't accept it. Obedience is what God is looking for. Amen? Not necessarily numbers, but he wants obedience. Amen? Now you might ask yourself, I don't know, maybe you're asking yourself this, maybe you're not. How do I get to the point of even giving them the gospel? So Johnny, do you just meet a person and say, let me tell you the gospel? Maybe that works sometimes, but I usually don't do that. So usually how I do it, if you're doing one-on-one, if you have a stage, you could just go for it, right? You just present the gospel before them. But if you're trying to witness to someone on a one-on-one level, you don't just shove it right away. Right? Nah, kushay. So I usually start be a people person. Don't be like a weirdo. Be a people person. Start a conversation. Say, once you practice starting a conversation with strangers, it's so easy. It really is. You just say, like, hey, how are you? If they don't want to talk, they don't want to talk. But if they talk, cool. You might not even see them again. You know what I mean? So I usually say, hey, how are you? You get them to share about themselves a little bit. I'm good. Like, what do you do for work? Like, typical questions, right? And then you find that little space where they're like, oh, so do you like go to church or something? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Like, it's so easy to ask. It's so easy to weave a conversation. And look, maybe at first it's not going to be easy to weave a conversation into that. But as you get, like, riding a bike, who gets on a bike and rides like a pro? Nobody. Nobody does that. And I'm talking about without training wheels, okay? I'm not talking about training wheels. Anybody can ride a bike with training wheels. But I'm saying, Yule, stop. Stop. Nobody gets on a bike and rides like a pro, right? Nobody does. So preaching the gospel and making conversations where you can share the gospel, that takes practice. So it's okay if it doesn't go smooth. It's okay to mess up. You fall on a bike and guess what? What do you do? I'm never riding a bike again. No, you get back up on the bike and start riding again. Yeah, then you have someone encourage you. No, you need to do it again. Does that make sense though? So as a convert, be a people person. Say, how are you? I'm trying to be really practical. It feels like teaching, not even preaching, honestly. But some questions that lead up for an opportunity to present the gospel. Like, there was a book I know Matthias read. It's Sharing Jesus Without Fear. Right? Some of the questions that you can ask, if you were like, I have no idea how to present the gospel, like, how can I even get them to that point? Right? And some questions you can ask, do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? To you, who is Jesus? Because do you know people? Some people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe that he's God. That's a problem. Do you think there's a heaven or a hell? Some people believe in heaven, but some people don't believe in hell. If you died tonight, where would you go? Right? Not only where would you go, but if heaven, why would you go to heaven? Because some people think they'll go to heaven, and you'll ask them why, but it's not the right reason. Okay, make sense? Or share your personal testimony. This is one of the most powerful things. You share how you got saved and how God changed your life. And it's powerful because people listen and they see it and they know the sincerity in your voice because it's your testimony. Amen? So those are just some of the steps, right? And it might seem scary at first, but there's really nothing to lose. Is there something to lose? If you get a little embarrassed, did you lose something? Not really. But it's worth to get embarrassed for Christ, amen? It's worth it. Guess what? Because he hung on a tree naked for you, so you could be saved. We should not be afraid to preach the gospel. And I'm not trying to condemn, but this is an invitation that we can all preach the gospel because Jesus did everything for us, so we are able to do everything for him. Amen? And guess what, God? God helps. Guess what? God helps us to preach the gospel. And as you step out more, it becomes easier. Amen? As you do it more, it becomes easier. As you ride a bike more, you become a stud and you go on those dirt trails, do those jumps, fluid motion, you flow, right? You get better. You get better as you do it more. Okay. So doing it out of love because he loved us. Amen? Not out of necessarily a duty, but if we're so in love with God and we know what he did for our lives and we're so thankful, the gospel should just flow out of. I mean, we make an effort, obviously. But it shouldn't be something I have to, you know? No, we should want to because people need a savior in the world. Amen? Who feels like they're able to share the gospel? I at least start somewhere from sharing the gospel, even if it's not perfect. Okay, we're going to review one more time. What is the first point?
Creation.
Second point. Third point. Redemption. Redemption. Birth, death, and resurrection. And then return. Again.
Creation.
It's going to be engraved into your brains.
Redemption, which is birth, life, and death, and resurrection.
Return. Cool. Practical? Can't get more practical than that. Maybe I can give you a wrench and you can go fix something, but it's pretty practical. Some people got that, some people didn't. It's okay. God still loves me. Hebrews 12:1. So this is kind of like, I gave you guys, but this is the thing. I also felt this, I don't want to say this is a second message, but this is kind of like a second message. I've read this before, but God keeps putting it on my heart. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance and the race marked out for us. Let us throw off everything that hinders us, every weight and every sin that hinders us from what? Running the race of faith. Running the race of faith. You know, some of us, we want to fulfill our calling, but there's sin or a weight that's hindering us. And again, I already spoke. Weight doesn't mean something. It doesn't necessarily mean sin. Weight means something that's hindering you. That could be your Instagram. Maybe it's not bad, but is it hindering you? Why am I saying Instagram? Because I need to work on that. It says throw off every weight. Maybe it's one of your hobbies that's taking your attention away from God. It could be whatever. If I say wait, you can know what hinders you from God. Amen? I don't think it takes super hard to think about, like, man, I got to go through my day and figure it out. No, I think if we think about, Holy Spirit will reveal it to us. Amen? And the number one thing that keeps us away from God is when we're complacent with sin. When we say, those little sins, they don't really affect me. When in reality, they keep you away from God. They pull you away from God. Sin separates you from God. We just talked about this. But we have access to God saying, God, I don't want to sin. I want to have fellowship with you. And He is just and righteous to forgive us. But if we continually do sin, it's not helping us get closer to God. We're just getting farther away. Amen? It's not helping us to walk out our calling. It's not helping us to run this race. It hinders us. It starts very little. And guess what? It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses. You know what? This is crazy. Did you know in heaven, the people who have already are with Christ, they're like, go, run the race. Stop messing around. We want you to run the race. We want you to win the prize. Literally, a cloud in people. People are like cheering you on to run the race towards Christ. That's a real thing. They're like, yes, we want you to fulfill your calling. Keep doing it. Throw off everything that doesn't matter. Throw off that garbage. We want you to run the race. There's people in heaven cheering you on. Isn't that such a like encouragement? People are like, go fulfill it. Go save people. Go heal the sick. That is so encouraging to me. And it's so important to take away the things that keep us from pursuing God. It's kind of hard to pursue two things when your feet are going the opposite directions. Yeah? You're not going anywhere. You're just like a penguin waddling. I don't know. Maybe you're running towards sin more. It's okay. Got some smiles. It's good. We all mess up. Yeah? No, I never mess up. I'm a perfectionist. We all mess up. But having a heart of repentance is important, right? So look at this. David, we were talking about this with Matthias yesterday. David was called a man after God's heart. I think we all want to be called that, right? People after God's heart. But guess what? David fell. But what made him after his heart? David was quick to repent. He didn't keep living in sin. He was quick to repent. When he realized he did something wrong, he repented before God. Why? Because he wanted to stay in God's presence. Amen? So we should have that quick heart of repentance. So we're going to mess up. But we're to throw off that mess up and saying, God, clean me up, and I'm going to keep going after you. Amen? Amen. Come on. Sin separates us from God, and it hurts our intimacy with Him. Small groups, I mean, we talk about this all the time. It's like a marriage, right? You don't cheat on your wife. Why? Because you want to protect the intimacy you have with her, the closeness of relationship, right? Same thing with God. We don't sin. Why? Not just because He told us not to, but because we want to protect our relationship with Him. Amen? And God wants the best for you. Did you know that? God wants the best for you? I feel like youth sometimes like, oh man, God does not want the best for me. No, God wants the best for you. He wants you to have full satisfaction in life. He wants you to live in the fullness of joy and peace. Amen? He has that. He wants the best for you. The world does not want the best for you. The world wants the worst for you. Who wants to be in my example? I need a brave soul. Where's Antoshka? I need Antoshka. Someone fetch me Antoshka. And Matthias, because he's a grown man. That's good. I need Ken. Okay.
Ooh. I'm excited.
Because sin is dirty. This is a very dirty chain, very rusty. It is not attractive at all. Some people wear chains around their necks because it's shiny, but this is a dirty chain because it's sin. Okay. I need Antoshka. Come here, Anton. So this is, I want to show an example of sin. Is it okay if I put this around your neck? I won't hurt you. I'll try not to, at least. Okay. So Antoshka represents my sin. It's okay, bro. You're not sin, though, in real life. Okay. This is sin. And look at this. You guys are going to remember this example, I'm telling you. This is sin. When we start out, it's very small, right? It's very small. And look, I'm not dragged by the sin. I can like kind of handle it. Move with me. I can kind of handle it. You're a baby. You can't do anything. This is a baby sin. Like I can walk with it. Yes, maybe I'm kind of like trying to go after God. It might be dragging me a little bit, but like I have it tipa under control because it's a baby. Like I can handle it. But guess what? The longer I walk with Antoshka, which is the baby sin, guess what? Over time, what does it do? It grows. It grows. It gets harder. Make it harder for me because you're growing. It gets harder to control it. It gets harder to go to the direction I want, right? And it gets harder and harder. By the time, the longer I hold on to this sin, this chain, guess what? The sin gets bigger, right? Thank you, Anton. Give a hand to Anton. You have your tetanus shot, right?
No.
And look at this. I've been holding on. This is the little sin grown into big sin. Has a beard and everything. And look, because I was holding on longer to it, it's already grown. And guess what? I can no longer control it. It controls me. And I'm a slave to it. I thought, oh, sin, I got you under control. But now I'm a slave to sin. Does that make sense? I can't control. Now I'm trying to walk towards God. But this sin is pulling me away. It's controlling my life. I'm a servant. I'm a slave to sin. Thank you, Matthias. Let's give a hand to Matthias.
Where'd you get
this? It's my dog's. You might want to wash your neck after that. Guys, it starts with the little complacent things. It starts with the baby sins. It starts when you're like, oh, I'm just going to look at this picture. Nobody's naked. Like, I'm being honest right here. This is how it starts. It starts out with the little things. I'm just getting real. They're kind of clothed. It's fine if I look. This is a lust problem. We're talking about lust here. Or it's like, oh, it's a little sip of alcohol. It's no big deal. Oh, it's a little cocaine. Okay, maybe not cocaine. It's a little cigarette. It's no big deal. Oh, I only got a little bit angry. It's no big deal. Oh, I just didn't forgive this person for this little thing. Usually it's a big thing, but I'll say it for the sake of that. Right? It starts out small and we're like, I can handle it, right? It's no big deal if it's in my life. And guess what? The longer you hold on to it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and you become a slave to it. So we need to stop being complacent and allowing. It says, do not give a place for the devil in the Bible. Do not give a place for the devil. Those little compromises become big compromises. Those little things that you think don't matter become big things. Does that make sense? So, and when we do acknowledge, guess what? Jesus comes and breaks the chain. Come on. Jesus comes and breaks the chain. When we cry out to him, Jesus, I need your help. I repent. He comes and breaks that chain. It's also an example of a hook. Matthias, you can come back up here. For instance, sin is a hook, right? I don't have a big hook, okay? My finger's a hook because I didn't get a hook. I got a chain, but I didn't get a hook. Okay, so look at this. There's a hook, and Matthias walks into the hook, like sin hooks him on because he walked toward it. I won't try to follow. It hooks him on. How does he get unhooked?
Take my shirt off.
No. So Matthias is facing that way because he walked towards sin and sin hooked him.
Like face this way.
Right? For Matthias to get unhooked, what does he need to do? He needs to step back. You can step back. Because look, it takes one step to get hooked. One step. He can be right here. Look, he's not hooked. But he takes one step towards sin. He gets hooked. Right? But what... You know what repentance looks like? It's taking that step back, seeing where you made that decision and saying, God, I'm not going to make that decision anymore. And you get unhooked. But it takes you acknowledging where you made that decision. It takes you, oh, I stepped into this sin at this moment. God, I repent of that. And God unhooks you from that. Amen? Thank you, Matthias. Sin only leads us to death and emptiness, and if it hasn't yet, a time will come when you will run dry. If you keep on sinning and you're like, it's bringing me happiness, joy, satisfaction, fun. Yeah, it's going to run out. It's going to run out and it's going to hurt. I'm just saying. It will never be enough to give you true joy or peace or love. And Jesus, though, like, this is the good news. Like, oh man, like, oh, I'm in sin right now. Well, this is the good news. And you can play keys and we're going to pray real quick. And Jesus is always, yeah, can you play keys? I'm sorry. I didn't ask. I'm like, you can play keys. Can you play keys, please? Jesus is always willing to clean us up, amen? And our mess, when we come to him saying, Jesus, I messed up again. And with his precious blood, he cleans us. Because why? He loves us. He paid for our sin. He paid the payment. And now we're able to come before him and say, God, clean me up. And he's faithful and he's righteous to clean us up. Amen? Say, God, I repent of this and I don't want to do it again. Help me. And that's what happens. Sin will always leave you in bondage. Always. But coming before him will leave you clean. Amen. So, we're going to stand and we're just going to pray. And I know today was kind of like all over the place, the gospel, but then the gospel is when we got free from sin and now we're with Christ. Amen. So, we're just going to pray. And even in that verse where it says, throw off everything that hinders, the weight, the sin. Throw off everything so you can run the race of faith. Whatever is hindering you from pursuing God. I want you guys to, not for my sake, throw it off, but for the sake of your life in Jesus, to throw those weights, to throw those sin off, to repent of it. And if Holy Spirit is touching your heart right now and saying, yeah, there's that little thing that you've been compromising, it's not going to lead to good stuff. And I want you to come back to me. So we're going to pray. And God's going to do something. Amen. So Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for your sacrifice, God. We thank you for the gospel, that it's you who came to earth, Lord, to save us when we were lost, when we were dead, when we were stuck in our trespasses, God. We thank you that you saved us, Lord. That you saved us, Lord. By your precious blood poured out, you saved us from death, Lord. You saved us from hell, Lord. And now you've given us life, and you've given us the Holy Spirit, that we live a life that is abundant and empowered, God. And right now we come before you, God, and we acknowledge any compromise, God. We acknowledge any weight that has been hindering us from pursuing you, God. Any sin that we've been complacent with, God. Even if it's small, or maybe if it's a big thing that we see that it's been taking control, Lord. If it's only been started for a little bit, or if it's been going on for a while, Lord, we just present that before you. We present it before you, God, and we repent. We ask that you would clean us with your blood. We accept your forgiveness, God, and we acknowledge, Lord, and we want to pursue you without hindrance. We want to run after you 100%, Lord. 100%. We thank you, God. We thank you for touching our hearts, God. We thank you that you have equipped us to preach the gospel, God. And right now we even pray that you would give us boldness in Jesus' name, Lord. I ask that you would impart boldness to these people, God, that we are able to preach the gospel unashamed and with boldness, Lord. For it is the power of God for salvation to man. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.